This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.
Get ready to kick up some dirt and mud because it's time for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl. SDORC is here to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. So whether it's bikes, buggies, trucks, or trikes, San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio brings you the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles and protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. Because together, everyone achieves more. Now, here is your host, Dave Stahl.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome to SDORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
That's Audrey Mason, and our co-host with her is Ed Stoven, and they are in today talking everything off-road. Audrey did a bonsai to King of the Hammer because I knew she couldn't stand it.
Yes, I was an adult. I didn't miss work. I actually worked all week this week. And
you made it?
And I left Friday night as soon as I got off work and headed out to King of the Hammers.
And it was crazy, according to the videos you just showed.
She showed a video. Oh, my God.
That was at 11 o'clock at night? There.
Oh yeah, that was. This is not non-sanctioned.
Was that a race? Was that part of the race?
Free-for-all?
No, that's the free for all. That was the free for all. Everybody's going wild. It's the last night before the race, and
So they raced yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that was Friday night.
Yeah, that was Friday night.
Okay, so then they race yesterday and today.
No, yesterday's the last race. So most all the vendors packed up and were gone last night by 8 o'clock at night. Well, everything was pretty much closed and shut down and gone. Half the vendors were gone out of vendor row. Half the vendors were gone Friday night when
vendors?
We went out there.
Like, what's the vendor row like?
Ridiculous.
It's huge. It literally, it's
like 9 or 10 or 50 or 100?
Oh, no.
It's like going to the fair.
You got a couple hundred. It's like going
to
the fair.
It's like an expo?
It's huge. It's bigger than an expo.
Oh, it's way bigger.
It's bigger than an expo because you have all the racers and all the race pits too that you can go in and out of.
So that's like an exhibit. Oh, is the racers.
Well, I don't know how you find anybody there. I went there.
What are you talking about?
Well, it's like a city with no signs.
Well, inside of Hammertown, there's signs. Outside of Hammertown,
there are no
signs. Learn your destiny or your landmarks.
I had
spots.
Never been there before, and I was looking for Scott Brown from Jeep, and I go.
You got to go find the Jeep exhibit. You got to go
find
where
found,
they're
posted. Well, he found me because I was driving
the monkey.
And then the other thing is you need a ham radio and you need to be able to be on it. Well, you need to get you need to get your license.
Did anybody
to have
tell
a ham
me this?
Radio and you need to find out what channel they're
on.
With that
information.
Did anybody tell me this?
Because
no.
There's no cell service when you go out there unless you got. I don't even want to say the name of it.
No,
but
never mind.
I don't. You have no cell service when you get out there, so you need a ham radio. And
I had no idea. Well, see, Scott didn't tell me anything.
I took four radios just to be sure we weren't gonna be able to get in contact with anybody.
Because different channels, you know.
Oh yeah, we were monitoring
channels on ham.
Yeah, because you can monitor your favorite racer has their race channel that they're on, and you don't need to be or interrupt them at all. Mm-hmm. So you need to make sure that you have your tag off so you don't click in because you'll override them, and so you don't want that at all. They'll get very upset with that.
How you doing?
Yeah, you get to hear the background of everything that's going on behind the scenes, you know, of their race crew and everything.
So the racers are talking to their pits while they're racing?
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely. And their crew all along the way. And then because if you break down, you and your co-pilot are allowed to fix it.
Bring me a spare axle.
But only so many people can be on the course. And your co-pilot has to get out, run off the course to meet the person, get it, and then run back to get you fixed and get you off. And then there was some drivers. We were sitting at Chocolate Thunder yesterday watching them race. And there was like a traffic jam pile up at Chocolate Thunder because you had a couple of rollovers, you know, and as they can't winch you when you have other drivers that come and they're on the course,
No, they're going to go over
an
unsafe,
Yeah, that's an unsafe position for them
to try
and
they
help
They
do.
Oh,
out.
No. There's...
They, some of
so
them
you
do,
said Chocolate
and some
Thunder,
of them,
is that a trail?
That's
is that
a trail.
Like a gully?
Yeah, no, it's a kind of...
It's like a rocky, in the,
yes,
like
uh-huh.
a ravine trail?
It's kind
All
of like a
rocky.
Trail that comes through, yeah.
Wouldn't
There's
it be interesting?
Several of them around there.
We need to get somebody in from King of the Hammers just to find out how the names came to be on all these different
oh,
locations.
Oh, yeah. I'm friends
Hammer,
with Shannon Welch. She helped Dave Cole put it on for, I don't know, 10, 11, 12 years. She just left King of the Hammers not too long ago.
Wouldn't that be a great interview,
Dave
though?
Dave Cole is the main one who puts it on. He made a big announcement on Wednesday for this year. For
say?
This year, so there's a huge King of the Hammers announcement that was released Wednesday afternoon, and that was one was the Ford Bronco, mm-hmm. And the Ford Performance and Ford Racing announcement that happened, and the second was Lucas Oil teamed up with Ultra Four. And they have added four new races on the West Coast this year for Ultra 4 racing.
Wow.
That's huge because 95% of the races happen on the East Coast.
Yeah, right.
And
nothing
there's,
out
there's
here.
Like two races that happen, one in Nevada, I believe, and one here that they put on. So I think there's one in Prim, and then I think there's one here that they put on, which is King of the Hammers. All the other races are East Coast, and most of the West Coast guys miss out. A lot of them don't travel to the East Coast
right.
to go. Yeah, it's expensive to do that. And what? You don't have the sponsor. You don't have the backing.
I heard Lucas Oil gave up something recently.
Oh, they closed their series down. They shut
they
their series
their
down. Yeah. About a year ago, they had a huge announcement. Lucas Oil was done. They were going to stop. It was too much. There was some.
Can you imagine how much it costs to run a series?
Oh my God.
A lot of money. I know what it takes for us to put on an event and
just
what we have to do. And if you have to pay to have security, the check-ins, you have to pay all
the
those
medical.
People and they're not volunteering, the medical that's there, the whole nine yards. I mean,
and I don't think they were. And
it's
I don't,
a lot.
And I don't think they were getting the TV coverage because
no,
they got
Speed
into
TV cut them out. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
The reason that, being they have that their own station, MAV TV.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And they made Dish mad.
Yeah.
They made Cox mad. You know. They, I mean, and I talked to the MAV people, and they still don't understand it because they were willing to give MAV TV free to these stations or these outlets, and they wouldn't take it.
Wow.
So there's something going on there, which is unfortunate because I canceled. I had Dish and I said, you drop MAV. See ya. Don't want to be ya.
Yeah.
Of course, wow. I can't. I mean, I think there's only one. Now there's nobody because I think their TV's gone too.
Well, Luke is teaming up with Ultra 4 and adding in four short
well,
course
that's
races on this on the West Coast for the Ultra 4 series. That's
huge.
Yeah. That's huge for all the West Coast racers that are out there.
Then they should have a mid-states championship between the East and the West.
No, that's King of the Hammers. Don't move my King. Don't you? Don't you? I will.
Oh, that. Yeah, that is. Oh, that. So that's the Super Bowl.
That's the Super Bowl. That's our big one. That's gotcha. King of the Hammers. Everybody, you have to get. You have to race so many races in the Ultra 4 Series, and you have to qualify, and you have to
just
do
to go to King of the Hammers.
Go to King of the Hammers. Yes.
Otherwise, you would have been there.
Yeah.
With a number on your Jeep.
And a scratch on your fender.
Yeah, well, there is the Everyman Challenge, so you do there, but that's not the race. It's part of it, but it's different.
It's not
than
the real deal.
Than, yes, than racing of the actual.
It's like the Puppy Super Bowl.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And nobody wants to be in the Puppy Super Bowl.
What are you talking okay. about? You start somewhere. You gotta get your. You gotta get going somewhere.
Gotta get your creds.
Yeah, you gotta exactly make a name for yourself. You get out there and you put on a good show and you make a name for yourself.
I would like to have interviewed that guy in the blazer that just kept rolling over like a turtle.
Yeah,
I know.
There was a guy.
So what exactly happened up there?
Yeah,
there was a gentleman who.
Do you work on your own vehicle?
Oh yeah, definitely. all of these guys definitely.
Oh, they're
work
all
on
hardcore.
Their own. Oh, hardcore.
Hold
yeah.
my beer. Mm-hmm. Watch this.
Yeah,
type mm-hmm. thing.
My buddy
Famous
was out there all week
word.
Long, and he works for. I think he still works for House Dairy Performance, Patrick Jones, and he took his rig out there. He's got a Yoda that's all built out. It's got the exo cage on it. It's all. Got everything removed out of it, and same thing. He goes up Chocolate Thunder, the same trail that I just showed you, and has fun with those guys. There was a really good show that two guys were putting on Friday night, though. They were friends, obviously. One of them was in a Bronco. One of them was in a Toyota. And the one that was in the Bronco was just all out to put on a good show for everybody. Purposely getting his rig stuck, purposely taking the hardest trails, trying to go up the biggest rocks, trying to flip himself over, you know. Yeah,
and those engines and everything are all sealed, so it's not like anything is going to run out and catch fire or hurt anything.
Well, depending on.
Some of them,
but.
Let's take a quick break. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio, FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks. Hey, welcome back. You're listening to SDORC Dirt Radio. FM 96.1, AM 1170.
The Answer.
That's Audrey Mason, and this show is brought to you by
Wayne Miller Mobile Tire out in Santee. If you're stuck on the side of the road, you're stuck on a job site, give Wayne Miller Mobile Tire in Santee a call. He'll come out and get you fixed up on the side of the road or on the job site. 619-596-2800.
And we got Ed Stove, and I didn't want to leave the little guy out.
That's right. I'm here. Oh, by the way, in three weeks,
look at all the paperwork
in studio, we're going to have State Senator Brian Jones talking about what he's doing in Sacramento to help help people. So I'm really looking forward to that.
You tell him to bring a check? Doesn't he owe you money?
I think he does, yeah. This will be a perfect opportunity to
collect. I'll ask him live on air. By the way, did you bring your checkbook?
Oh, thank you very much. Brian's a great guy.
He really is.
You know, when you think about politicians, you think they're slimy, you know, they're unethical.
They're
Brian
like,
is a
they're like
is
that a, guy, what, Fletcher?
Oh my God.
I can say that.
So he's not Brian, a, he's not Brian
a
turn, Jones.
He's not a turncoat like Fletcher. He actually sticks to what he says.
Yeah, and my assemblyman, what's his name? But anyway, Brian Jones is a nice guy. He's a smart guy. He's conservative, not ashamed of it. He's one of us. He'll be in, so it'll be great to talk to him. And what happens is bills get introduced in the legislature. They have an introduction deadline, which is February 19th. Mm-hmm. So he'll be in a week after that, and we'll know all the bills that have been introduced. So the bills that he has introduced, we can talk about, and other bills that affect people, him, that we have strong feelings on, either we want to strongly support or we want to strongly oppose, we'll be able to discuss those bills. So it'll be real interesting to see what Brian brings for us. We have a couple of things going on. I get emails from the Sierra Club. I'm on the list. Last week, I got an email from Catherine Phillips, in charge of the Sierra Club. She said, Gavin Newsom has an easy opportunity to make good on a promise to protect California biodiversity. So this letter goes on and on. It says how they need to protect Tesla Park, a biologically rich and culturally important 3,100 acres in Alameda County. And they go on and on how this poor place is being destroyed. What they don't really tell you is that state parks bought this land to expand Carnegie off-road area, state mm-hmm. vehicular recreation area. They're calling it Tesla Park. That name has never actually existed with this piece of land.
Right.
There's nowhere has it been designated Tesla Park. It was private property that was purchased by the state to expand Carnegie State Vehicular Recreation Area. And they talk about how
I'm pretty positive that our OHV funds were used to purchase
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. That was green sticker money.
And that was green sticker money from our off-highway vehicular trust fund that purchased
who
it.
Is
and
going,
yet,
who's
and yet
gonna keep these people who's gonna keep these people in check? There are no cops.
It goes right back to our huge announcement last week from Jim Setti and Friends of Oceana Dunes and their lawsuit suing for the Freedom of Information Act.
Winning
and
that,
what they did and winning that
cool.
Freedom of Information and winning against CARB from withholding documents.
No.
You know,
but
this is very similar. There's
blatant lies in this email that they sent out to everybody asking them. And it And so I sent this email to the CORVA board, California Off-Road Vehicle Association. There's about a dozen directors, and they're very knowledgeable. And one of them said, oh, yeah, that was a coal mine years back. It was also a sand mine, and they went after other minerals. And there's areas in there that are, you have to be careful because there's pits. You can fall into the mine. So this is the area that's pristine right. to these people that can't be touched. And, you know, the world is a big place. California has hundreds of thousands of square miles. This is like 6 square miles.
Just go up I-5, stop midway, turn right, yeah. and you can have all that out there you want.
It's such right? a big place. We want this is just a few square miles, and they have it out for us.
Yeah, there is.
What?
You're talking the Sequoias, you're talking the Sierras.
No, I'm talking about that desolate area off the 5 when you're going between here.
Which is all of our farmland.
Where?
Has it been a long time since you've driven up there? I was just driving right through there. A lot of farmers that are really upset over there because they're doing this. What are they doing? They're trying to dam up all of our water and not allow the water to come through.
Well, yeah.
Well, they're letting the water go there, so. To protect a little fish, the Delta smelt.
Right.
Yeah. Heard of that?
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And that the Sierra Club's their partner in crime, it's the Center for Biological Diversity. And those guys got the Delta smelt on the endangered species list. So they're required to let the water run through the river for this fish. And now they can't have the dam. They can't have the water to water all the crops.
Yep.
Right.
And there's millions of acres of farmland that's going dry. They can't plant on because they don't have water.
Because they're trying to save the fish.
Because
they're trying to save these little fish.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they don't taste very good.
See, that's what I'm saying. There's nobody. It's like the fox guarding the chicken coop.
Yes, it is. Yeah.
But how are we going to stop this?
All we can do is sue them. What we can do.
So we have a lobbyist, and she can help us get a letter to the governor's office. So, like, when you write a letter to the governor, what happens to it? There's some low-paid intern who's going to look at it and then delete it or crumble it up or whatever they do. But if you have a competent lobbyist like we have who we share with, we can have that lobbyist help us write an appropriate letter, and that letter can go to the appropriate staff.
Yep.
So we know how to work channels, so we can do something. It doesn't mean it's going to fix the problem,
mm-hmm.
but we can maximize our voice that way.
And this is a repeat problem. We fought a similar bill a year ago, 2 years ago.
Three years now.
3 years now in a row, actually.
People have been trying to get this piece of land out of state parks.
Yeah.
The off-road vehicle part of state parks. And then trying to do something else with it. And it's tiny, but it's making them crazy that we have it. And we've been fighting them. 2 years ago, a bill went all the way through the legislature to take that land away from off-roaders. And you know what happened? Is Gavin Newsom vetoed the bill.
Oh, that's the one
it's
you said.
That's the one he vetoed. Now, what happens is he goes
for us.
The governor has a whole bunch of agencies. So a bill comes up and it's directly part of one of the agencies. He calls the people in the agency. Hey, what do you think of this bill? So he called state parks and said, what do you think about this bill? And they said, this bill stinks. Please don't sign it. And so he didn't sign it.
Yep.
Hate the guy, but sometimes he does something, you know, reasonable.
Yeah, but there's got to be a reason he did that. He didn't do it out of the goodness of his heart.
It was, no. And
that's the part I have a problem. It's not out of the goodness of his heart.
It makes me crazy that this bill got all the way through the legislature. Like, how come all those legislators didn't call state parks? They could have called state parks.
So
I think there's wheels are being greased all the way through the system. And then finally it gets to the end and he just puts his fist down.
I mean, we already wiped out. There's no car manufacturers being built. No cars being built in California.
Well, yep. You wouldn't want those kind of jobs. High paid, high skilled, interesting. Get those out of here.
So we want those. Now we're working on getting agriculture out of California.
Yep. Well, there's no water.
That's what I'm saying.
We have to let it go
into
the ocean.
So now we're trying to. What are they trying to turn California into? A desert.
Yep.
Which is what it was when it started.
Well, I like riding in the desert.
I know. I do. Well, there's not going to be anything left, and then pretty soon
I won't have a job. I don't know. I'll have to live somewhere else.
You'll get to go play in the desert.
Yeah.
It just makes me crazy. It literally makes me crazy. And I know it makes you guys crazy, but you guys both have way more patience than I do.
No, hearing the news of this email come through, though, it's very disheartening from the Sierra Club.
It's blatantly lying.
It's calling it a park. It's calling it a prime, pristine area. And it's like, do you know what that is? Do you even know what you're talking about? Have you been there?
I took a tour of it with the superintendent in his truck, and we drove around it, and it's a nice area. And I said, so what do you want to do with this area? What are your plans if everything goes the way you want? He said, oh, we're going to put a few dirt roads here and there, and you'll be able to tour the area and go over this and that. And what this letter from Sierra Club is saying is that it's going to be carnage, that the whole place will be, here, I'll use their words, free. They want to prevent the risks of landscape demolition from off-highway vehicles. They're trying to protect it from demolition. Now, the superintendent told me they're going to put some dirt roads in there, and the roads, some of those roads are already there.
Some of those roads are, if you've been there, it's wilderness. It needs the fire breaks. It needs those roads. It could use a few of those. You know, that's a good point Audrey brought up.
Fire breaks.
It needs that.
Because this is the kind of area that can have a brush fire.
See, there's grass growing. You're getting frustrated.
When he told me, because I haven't been, I don't know.
And you were in such a good mood, too.
Yeah, I was when I got home and then I did a bunch of stuff. And then we talked about what we were going to talk about today. And I was like, really? They're going after Carnegie again. I mean, this is going to be the fourth year in a row. We haven't seen the bill yet,
but we know the bill's going to come.
And you know what's so sad? Just think how much good the Sierra Club could do if they really put California and the people first. Just think how much good they could do because they've got lots of members, they got lots of strength. But if they just did the right thing, can you just imagine?
The whole thing is being narrow-minded. The whole thing is being closed off and not open to seeing what we bring to the table. There's such a stigma that comes with that. You want to make a Sierra Clubber mad?
You tell them if you drive on a dirt road, like to the trailhead, then you're
officially
off-roading. An off-roader.
Yeah.
In California. You're officially an off-roader. That'll make me crazy.
Oh, yeah. I try and to point. So you're a rock climber. You hike a couple miles in to find that boulder that you want. But how far did you drive to get to the trailhead that you're going to hike?
Oh, no, wait. You took a helicopter. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
I forgot.
You got dropped in from
their air.
Their
drone dropped
them
off.
Yeah,
their drone dropped them off.
If you don't send this show to the Sierra Club Monday, you're in deep you-know-what.
So the Sierra Club has a bicycle division, like a group where they organize bicycle rides.
Yeah.
They absolutely do not have mountain bikes. They don't organize a dirt mountain bike ride, only on pavement.
What?
Isn't that weird? That's part of off-roading.
But aren't they trying to save the natural environment for us to be able to experience
the beauty
of Mother Nature? But heaven forbid you actually get out and actually
experience Mother Nature. Just watch National Geographic.
Yeah, that's all you need. It's good.
Mountain bikes are part of the demolition of the natural
landscape. Hold that thought. We got to take a break. See that clock?
See what it says?
It says Ed.
Here we go.
That's the Ed right there. And, oh, now he plays music. I hope you have to work till 6 today. Thank you for listening to KCBQ,
1170 AM.
The Answer.
96.1 FM. The Answer.
All right, folks. Welcome back to STORC Dirt Radio right here on FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
And by the way, folks, in the second hour, you are definitely going to want to listen.
I'm so excited.
Audrey and Ed are going to hang around for the next hour. Sue Mead and Amy, what did I say her
Lerner?
Name? Lerner. And Amy just finished the Dakar rally in a vintage Porsche 911. That was built.
That's crazy. How awesome is that?
That is crazy.
So it's going to be a great hour. It's going to be an extension of Audrey's King of the Hammer experience. because now she's going to get to talk to Sue and Amy, who did the big rally.
Sue's brilliant. I've followed her around. She's an awesome journalist.
Isn't she? That? She just got her flying license.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, now she's a pilot. Oh. It'll be a great show, Mike. By the way, folks, a great show. All right, so Ed was talking about our friends at
the Sierra Club.
Sierra Club.
Who have our best interests in mind?
Not.
No, they don't. They hate off-roaders, and they're a difficult group. They're one of a number of groups against us. Mm-hmm. They're very big. And, you know, they have a lot of members, supporters, who don't really understand what they do. Mm-hmm. Like the sort of the core group.
Well, South Sierra Club. It sounds like
so
you're
nice.
Sounds
and they'll
pristine.
Take you on a hike.
Right.
Right. Oh, we'll go to the beach. We'll play badminton. We'll go on a hike and we'll see some birds and stuff. Yeah. But they really want to mess with people like us. They want to close areas to everything but foot traffic.
Right.
And it's very frustrating. And there's another group, a government agency that has it out for us. It's the California Coastal Commission.
Mm-hmm.
And they have it out for us for Oceano Dunes, which is otherwise known as Pismo Beach. Mm-hmm. The only beach in California you can drive a vehicle on. Car, dune buggy, motorcycle.
And camp.
And
you can camp right on the sand, which is super cool.
Mm-hmm. $10 a night is the only place you can camp.
$10 a night?
$10 a night.
Well, you can't do it now.
Well, now that you know, everything is in... Everything's messed up.
Everything's
right
in limbo.
But I think I said this incorrectly to you last week, Audrey. The public works plan that California State Parks has come out with is in response to the California Coastal Commission's requirement for them having a permit.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure about that.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. It coincides with them because they get their permit from the California Coastal Commission. So they have to have their operations plan. So their operations plans come to a sunset, and their new plan has come out, and that's the public works plan.
And
how
the public works plan is available for public comment right now. You can go online and you can read the 1,000-plus pages of plan. And so State Parks put this together, and when you read it, you're allowed to comment on it. Now, State Parks does not have it out for us off-roaders. This is a plan that's trying to walk the fine line between keeping off-roaders happy and keeping the California Coastal Commission happy. They're also walking the same line in their habitat conservation plan because that is for the Fish and Wildlife Agency. And they're also walking the line between protecting the species and keeping fish and wildlife happy and keeping it open for off-roaders. So there's these two separate, delicate, tight walks they're doing. And they're also doing something not as official as a plan, but for the air pollution people, right? So there's three agencies that are giving State Parks a hard time. And State Parks has been criticized for not making these plans off-road enough. But if they make them too much for off-road, then they won't pass these other agencies.
Which just blows my mind, because when you look at any of the off-road parks, we have the
strictest.
We have the strictest management plans. We have the most
strictest requirements for archaeological, for biological, for soil.
Yeah,
of
we have
all
the best
state parks,
soil and
the
all
nine
of the
state
parks.
Off-road parks have waste. Stricter standards than the 271 other parks
outside of California.
There's
California.
280 California state parks.
Oh, okay.
And only nine
off-road, 271 non-off-road.
Oh.
So the off-road ones have stricter standards than the other ones.
Why shouldn't it all be the same?
Yeah, I don't know. Because they come after us. And our program is separately made from legislation.
Well, you know what they'll do. They'll take videos of King of the Hammers, Free for All Friday night.
And they'll blame
and
it
say,
on us.
See what these off-roaders did?
They destroy everything.
But $20 says if you go there today to where your buddy, you know, played like a turtle, you won't even know he was there.
It's cleaned up.
You won't even know he was there.
When they leave the lake bed in the next week, the trash will be picked up. All the fencing will be picked up. Everything will be, you know, you won't tell you will have no idea the amount of people, the amount of trailers that were out there, the event area that was set up and staged. Hammertown was even there. You won't even,
I use the example, it's just like OTL.
Oh, yeah.
When you go to Fiesta Island, when OTL is rocking.
I've been there.
Me too. You are blown away by that place. But then you go there
the next
Wednesday
week,
after.
You bring your dog. This looks like an empty place.
That looks like an empty lot of sand. Yeah. I know.
So the Coastal Commission made an announcement that they will be releasing a public staff report. They're going to do that this month in February. And then on March 18th, the Coastal Commission is going to vote on what to do with Oceano Dunes.
This is huge.
They're having a meeting. They're having a virtual public meeting on March 18th. It's going to be another one of those meetings where the public can call in and voice their concerns.
2 years ago when this started, and they had the public meeting up north that everybody went to. There was, 7,000 people showed up for the hotel?
I think it was less than 2 years. But they had the one that went from noon to 7 p.m.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Like 7 hours of public comment. And some people were so against it, and some people were so for. Like, it's really a difficult situation. I feel for state parks because they're caught in the middle, right? They need to keep the off-roaders happy, and they need to keep the Coastal Commission happy, and it's just very a challenge.
Terrible.
Well, so we need the people to step up again. We need the outcry. We need comments. We need emails.
Well,
this is one of the ones.
How do people find
one.
Out how to do it? Can they go to sdorc.org?
We will put it up. We haven't put it up yet on what to do. So we'll get to that.
Okay.
We still have 6 weeks or 5 weeks.
There's a link on our site for Oceana Dunes.
We're talking about the virtual.
The specific virtual meeting. Well, we will get that up.
Yeah.
We'll get that up soon. So what's interesting is not that long ago, the staff of the California Coastal Commission had recommended a closure of Oceano Dunes. They said, we need to close it. It should be closed. But the staff are not the commissioners. And so the commissioners voted different than the staff. They said, let's see what this public works plan is, and let's work through that. And then once the public works plan comes out, then we'll decide on the fate of the park.
Yeah, the only reason why they voted differently was because of the 7,000 people that showed up at the hotel meeting and the outcry that we got.
People were lined up around the block, weren't they?
Oh, yeah. Uh-huh. They overwhelmed it. They were not expecting the amount of people to show up for this and the outcry. And that's what we need again, you know, right now.
So we really need
people to voice their opinion, send an email, call the commissioners. Right now, emails, you can ignore an email. You know, sending a letter, making that phone call
being in line and standing there and saying something right to the people who make the decision.
Oh, yeah. Showing up. But this is a virtual one. So that makes it a little bit harder because I don't know if we can overwhelm them. But if we call them and they get
13 hours to get through,
multiple phone calls, I think that at this particular point in time is going to be key for that. And there's a number on here. It says for questions, call. And guess who it is?
Who is it?
Kevin Kahn. Our beloved.
Kevin Kahn, he's one of the guys that we don't like. Well, we don't like him. And just Audrey and I and a couple of our friends accused him of taking bribes from. Yeah.
What's his number?
The number that you want to call for the Central Coast District Supervisor to ask questions and participate in this event is 831-427-4863. You know, because you can go here, it says you can call in, you can register for this event. But if we overwhelm them between now and March 18th for this meeting, and we call them at 831-427-4863 and ask for Kevin Kahn and let him know that they need to keep Oceana Dunes open and allow it for off-road vehicles. I mean, it's ridiculous.
And
the
don't
walkers
forget
and the
when
joggers,
you
have every other beach in the state of California. You've got
a thousand miles.
We're how many miles is the state of California that we have?
Wait a minute. The Marines drive up and down the beach all the time in Pendleton.
They do. I've seen it.
On theirs, yeah.
Well, okay, so here's the deal. If you're going to call that number, folks.
Yep.
831-427-4863. Start off with, this message will be recorded.
Yes.
Get their attention. Whether you're recording it or not, let them know, because if you call them, they'll tell you this phone call may be recorded for customer service and all that stuff. But no, I mean, and put together an intelligent statement. Don't just yell, holler, and scream, because that's not going to get you.
There's intelligent statements all over Friends of Oceano Dunes' website. We have intelligent comments written for it on our website. You can go to Facebook. You can go to Instagram. You can contact us directly.
Do we need a petition?
You can contact Corva directly. I believe.
No, we need instead of signing a petition, we should have people call in.
Call the California
and say,
Coastal Commission.
We want to keep Oceano Dunes open for off-road vehicles.
They can't ignore a phone call. They can ignore an email. They can put that they've received the email and file it away and archive that email. An automatic response is sent. They don't even have to look at it. But if you make a phone call to them, they can't deny that phone call.
Well, they cannot
answer. You know what we can do, too, after this? We could do a Public Records Act request. We want to see all the emails that came in.
Ooh, that's a good question. Oh,
right.
Yeah.
Then we see 10,000 emails. We'll go, well, look at all these emails. What do you guys think of this?
What if they say, oh, no, we didn't get any emails? Say, well, okay, well, guess
well,
what?
Well, then Friends We've of got, Oceano Dunes will help us with another lawsuit.
We have a list of people that did call, email you. So let's see you in court, Sonny.
You know, that's funny. We should get a bunch of people to send emails.
Maybe
and then
the
we should do a
General's
PRA
office
request. And make sure that all the emails that we sent are on that list.
How is it you can be a government employee, and because you're on the government's dime, it's okay for you to hide documents and not supply that with information? I don't care who you are, government employee, whether you are actually elected to office or not. If you hide documents and hide information from a Public of Information Request Act, the district attorney, the state's general attorney, who is it that one of them needs to go after these people and prosecute them for her withholding information? I can guarantee
that's a great
you
point.
We would be looking at jail time.
If it was the other way around, we would be in big trouble.
We would
trouble.
Be in big trouble.
And the highest price lawyer would have trouble saving us.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Guaranteed. Yeah. All right, folks, we need to take a break.
Yeah, this is FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The Answer.
All right, folks, welcome back to FM 96.1 AM 1170. This is SDORC Dirt Radio, and we are The Answer.
The Answer, San Diego, yes.
And we have a sponsor, too.
Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc., PRMI. Chris Wiley out in Alpines here to help you out if you're looking to purchase a home, buy a home, refinance your home, having issues maybe with a tenant or so.
Or you need a friend to go dirt bike riding with because he rides dirt bikes.
Oh, yeah. He's a great guy. He's very involved in the community. He's an honest guy. He'll tell it to you straight. He'll let you know what you got going on, whether or not it'll be worthwhile for you to refinance or stay because... that's just how he is. Give Chris Wiley a call, Primary Residential Mortgage, Inc., PRMI.
All right. Well, welcome back, folks. We are sitting here hot and heavy with the Coastal Commission. I just made a phone call to them at break just to see if they're going to return my phone call. So we'll see and stay tuned. And by next weekend on the show, you'll know.
Yeah, we'll see how they respond and what they do. Especially since we're a radio show, maybe we can have somebody actually make a comment in regards to why they want to actually stop vehicle access here on the radio.
That would be fun.
That would be
to get those guys on the call on the show.
Yeah, definitely. Be like, what did you have going on with these deals? Have you ever heard of a gentleman who? No, we won't go there.
Yeah,
I won't
say,
go there.
No
I'm
dead
not,
air.
I'm going to leave that one hanging. I'm not going to bring it up at this particular point in time because of...
Okay. What were you saying about a Bronco?
Oh, yeah. King of the Hammers. The other big announcement that came out on Wednesday was Ford Performance Racing. They have released their new Bronco. It's been in production. They
is that a car you can get at a dealer, yeah, or is it a racing specific?
So it's they took their stock Bronco and put it into King of the Hammers this weekend a and stock? Had them race.
Do they have a stock class?
They have a stock class that they could do out there.
Wow.
Then they took that Ford Bronco and they put it into production and for the 4600 series. So it's a little bit beefier, a little bit beefed up.
It's not the Bronco Sport, folks.
No.
Don't get confused.
Don't get confused.
That's the stock one?
Yeah.
Or the Bronco Sport is the little guy.
Mm-hmm. So there's like two sizes of the car, a
small
body and a larger.
Yes. And so they took the larger one.
Do they look the same?
The Unlimited, and they put it into the 4600 series, and they made signed deals this year with Ultra 4 racers, Lauren Healy, Bryce Menzies, Menzies, number 7, yeah, Bryce, and Spears. I want to say Jim Spears or Justin Spears. I always forget. I don't know why I always want to call him Justin, but I think it's Jim.
So Ford is hiring these guys to compete in their cars?
Yeah, some of the top racers across.
And is this like a stock class or is this a modified?
That's a modified class. That's a 4600 series. So these guys that they hired,
So how modified is 4600?
It's not that too different from what they have on the vehicles already and what they're in production for. So it's light modifications?
It's not like the crazy, like at King of the Hammers, there's some cars that are like incredibly crazily built.
4400 series is the ones that
They can go fast in the open desert through the big whoop-de-doos, and they can also go crawl over the rocks.
All of these vehicles do that, just so you know.
Some of them do it with more verve than others.
And they have to go through harder, more difficult courses and bigger rocks and larger, like boulders and stuff, and they have much more difficulty when it comes to it. And that's the 4400 series. It's like when we talk about Chocolate Thunder, the 4600 class, they had to go through part of it, but then they could miss a difficult hill climb with rocks
and stuff around
the hard part. But the 4400 series couldn't.
It had to
shoot the line. Yeah. Uh-huh.
Wow.
There's no going around the hard line.
Wow. How would you like to be a driver on one of those?
It would be 46? A dream come true.
That would
for
be
me?
A dream for you?
It would be a dream come true for me.
I wonder if like success at Rebel could maybe be a step in that direction.
They signed with some of the top drivers in the United States. You're talking the guys who won the Baja. These are famous guys. Multiple times. Yeah. Bryce McKenzie's won the best in the desert 2 years in a row. You're talking about some of the top drivers in the, I'm going to go as far as saying the world, in my opinion.
Because there's not really that anywhere else.
You don't have
here.
This experience anywhere else besides here. Yeah.
I mean, there's deserts in other places, but they don't have a high series like we do.
Yeah.
So yeah, you could say that. The best in the world.
Yeah. Yeah. To watch these guys race, to talk to these guys.
How do we get Audrey?
Randy Lawson won yesterday.
How do we get you in the driver's seat of a real race car?
She just has to be persistent and keep sending her radio shows in. She's showing that she has a following.
She has tremendous driving skills.
It doesn't make any difference.
She's got
she
a
could
voice.
Be the greatest driver
she has
in the
a
world.
Good look.
Yeah.
Okay, you're Ford.
Yes.
And you've got this vehicle that you want to give to somebody to get you more publicity than you can shake a stick at.
Right.
Who are you going to go to?
Audrey.
No.
She's got a radio show. No.
You know what I'm saying?
You're looking for the most bang for your buck.
They're looking for their buck.
Exactly.
I mean,
who's going to give me the most press? I mean, who already has a name that will...
What's her name? Siley Rye... what's her name? Miles is singing for the Super Bowl?
Miley Cyrus.
Miley Cyrus. Miley Cyrus, but they think
everyone knows
that
her.
Miley Cyrus is going to be the best bang for their buck. Is she the greatest singer on the planet? No.
She's pretty good.
But she's not.
I know. There's a million other
There's
girls.
There's a million other
sing.
Girls out there that can sing 10 times better than she can.
Yeah.
But she's got name recognition. Mm-hmm. So until Audrey gets name recognition, and that means winning the Dakar.
Her?
And that's different.
So
that's,
you have to win the Dakar rally.
I have
then
to
we'll get
change
you on a Bronco.
My mentality because even this weekend I was talking to the guys from Corva and they're asking you, we're talking different things And I even said this weekend, I'm not in it to be known. I'm not in it to have my name out there. I'm in it to have open riding, open desert, to ensure that there's places for us to go play. I love to be outside and adventure and explore. That's what feeds me. And my mind, my soul resets every weekend when I get out and I explore. And to not have that, well, it would be devastating.
You know what you need to look into? An agent.
Yeah, that's what I have to do.
I mean,
it's true.
I'm serious.
Because I'm not that publicist person. I'm not that
you
social
can't be
media.
A publicist.
I'm not
you
that
can't
one
do
that
both.
Does that. That is out
That's
there
true.
To do that.
Like if you're focused on driving, it's hard to be promoting yourself.
Yeah,
like,
I've
to
not...
be a real like I only think about being a good driver. Then how do you think about? Oh, I need to be on the radio.
Okay.
I need to do this.
You're
going to
be on the next hour. For an hour,
I want to stay
Sue
on
me.
With yeah with Sue. I would love to follow.
So
Sue.
At the very end of the show, the last 15 minutes, the last 10 minutes of the show, tell Sue, say Sue, I look up to you. I look up to you and Amy. What would you tell a young lady that's as passionate about off-road racing as I am? What would you tell them to do to get to the level you guys are at?
Yeah,
and then just sit back. And then I'll give her your phone and her number. You can call her and talk to her anytime you like.
Oh, that would be amazing.
Because and Sue's the type of girl that would tell you. She'll give you the hard truth of the whole matter.
Yeah.
You know, because it's not an easy trail that you're granted, today women are way more accepted in motorsports today than they ever were back in the day when Sue was doing it.
Oh, yeah.
And the Denise McCluggage of the world, who you don't even know. But this woman started, Denise, she started in the 50s and was rally racing. And she could.
What?
Wow.
Oh, she was just an amazing lady.
Wow, that's a long.
Yeah.
That was back in the day when.
Women were barely allowed out of the kitchen.
They weren't even allowed in the pits.
Oh, my God.
Women were not allowed in the pits.
For real. See, I've been off-roading my entire life, but I've never been. I have not participated in an actual race. Now, mind you, I've done District 38, but I haven't raced District 38. I've stood in the pits and I've helped other people and I've watched and I've done, but I can go out and I've gone on the course after them and I try and go just as fast as they do.
Do you know of any off-road schools?
I did D38.
There's a couple, I guess. There's a guy in Moab that tries to teach an off-road class. There's a couple of them that say that it's a tour, but
no,
not
a tour.
Like,
do you know anybody that like Walker Evans does a class?
We should rent one of those side by sides and then just enter you in a D38 race.
I never thought I needed
it.
A class.
Yes, you do.
I've been.
They got a stock class for side by sides. Let's
yes,
rent one for $500. And we'll have you go to D38 and race it.
No, I'm telling you, you need to get somebody.
There's
that
nothing
has
like experience.
Credit. It's just like Corey Cruzman. He does a sprint car race, a school up in Ventura.
Oh, yeah.
And that's where 99% of the sprint car drivers came from. That's what you need to find. You need like a Walker Evans, for example.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you need to have I don't think Walker's doing a class. He needs to, but... That's what we need to do. We need to, and that's where you get your creds.
Yeah.
All right. Let's take a quick break. STORC Dirt Radio FM 96.1 AM 1170.
The answer
is over.
Thanks for joining us for San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio with Dave Stahl, the program that is working to further off-roading as a safe family experience while promoting and preserving the natural environment. To learn more about SDORC and how you can get involved, visit sdorc.org. That's sdorc.org. Join us next week at this same time for more of the latest news and initiatives in preserving the use of off-highway vehicles while protecting the land and wildlife at the same time. This has been San Diego Off-Road Coalition Radio on The Answer San Diego.
This program is sponsored by Love Radio Network.